Our first guest this morning on High Velocity is Mike Brown. He is the guy behind the Brain Zooming Group. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Stone. I appreciate it.
Well, you're a returning guest. You're joining a very select fraternity, so welcome back.
Well, I appreciate that. It was, gosh, probably a year and a half ago or so, I think.
I think so. Well, we had a chance to meet you in real life just a few weeks ago. You know, I got to tell you, that video that you did of Stone and I looked really good in it.
This is maybe Stone's finest moment on film, too. I don't know.
It might have been. I can't really tell.
That was fun, though, meeting his buddies. Several of those guys worked with you in the transportation arena, right?
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting combo. I was down there chairing a market research conference and had a few folks that I had worked with in transportation and had a couple of people from who'd been at the conference with us, and then to get to meet you guys after a couple of years of talking on phone and email and Twitter, that was a real blast.
Now, you've been out on your own for a while now. You're not working with those folks anymore. You're doing your own thing. Tell us a little bit more about how that's been going for you.
Yeah, it was a year ago Friday. I left the corporate world and went full-time with the Brain Zooming Group, where we're out basically working with companies across a variety of industries to kind of help them tap into the expertise that they've got resident within their businesses, but then help them to look at their business opportunities and their challenges in a new way and turn that into plans that they can implement pretty efficiently. So it's going well. It's been an interesting year. I started out very entrepreneurial early on, then was in the corporation for a good number of years, and then back entrepreneurial, and I missed it. So it's actually been really, really fun this year.
So you can feed your family doing this? Tell us more about exactly how this stuff unfolds and how you're working with companies. Sounds like fun work if you can get it, man.
Yeah, luckily I have a small family and we don't eat much, but no. Yeah, what we're doing is basically companies that, you know, are really smart about their marketplaces, are smart about their customers, are smart about just kind of their operation in general. That's almost always a really great thing, but the challenge that we found that can create is you get so smart about your business that it's tough to take a step back and look at it in a new way because you've tried everything and you know what's going to work or you know what's not going to work. So what we do is with companies that are maybe at that point where we just can't sort of get over a hump or we've got new opportunities that are out there and we're just not really tapping into it, we come in and help them take that knowledge, maybe put it to the side for, you know, 90 minutes or a couple of hours and look at their business in a new way, and then bring that knowledge back in and turn it into a plan that they can go out and do. So it, you know, a lot of the clients we talk with, they've spent, you know, 8-9 months in kind of interesting management meetings talking about strategy, and somebody takes some notes and they type them up and nobody ever really remembers. We sort of cut through all that and in a half a day or a day come in, as we describe it, almost produce a lot of strategic conversations that look at their business in a new way and then turn it into something that they can go make some action with and go get some revenue or get some new customers or improve some processes inside their business.
Are there certain types of companies that this process works better for?
You know, it's interesting, Todd. I developed a lot of the methodology inside a business-to-business service company. So, you know, I was doing things that made it work there and really kind of oriented toward people who weren't necessarily marketers or weren't necessarily planners to help them be more efficient in that. What we've found, though, is we've gone out and done this for other folks in other industries. I mean, we've been in consumer packaged goods companies. We've been in industrial production companies. We've been in universities. We've been in nonprofit agencies. The same kind of skills of how do you take strong questions that really analyze a business, how do you take tools and techniques that help somebody shift their perspective or look at their business opportunity from maybe a different point of view, that those things tend to be pretty effective across industry. You know, and we've been with small local companies all the way up to multi-billion dollar global companies. And you know, we vary the mix of tools, but seems to be working and seems to be applicable in a lot of business situations.
So can you fix a broken radio show?
Oh, well, if I could find a broken one, this is one functioning well.
So if you don't mind, walk us through a specific problem that you guys helped an organization address and help us get a feel for exactly what things look like on the backside of engaging you guys.
Yeah, I mean, one that we've done recently that I think is kind of intriguing, a lot of the work we've been doing is in social media, and companies that, you know, they either see their competitors are out there or they feel sort of this pent-up pressure that, well, everybody's on Twitter or everybody's on Facebook, we need to do something. And we've been working with a company that, they're a heavily regulated company based on their industry, and because of that, there's a lot of restrictions around social media. They can't just tweet stuff away. It's got to go through regulatory checks and legal checks. So we talked with them and said, you know what, you're involved in some other sponsorship things. You're involved with some other organizations that are related to your industry that don't suffer under the same kind of regulatory hurdles that you do. Maybe that's an opportunity to look at how you can partner with them. So we actually did a session here about a week and a half ago with them and some of their partner companies, spent a full day and looked at, you know, who their audiences are, what's important to those audiences, and looked at generating concepts for how they may be able to start to get a toehold into social media. And, you know, sort of the benefit of what we do, as I describe it, really comes back to the name, Brain and Zooming. So we help people look at their business situations in new ways and do it really quickly. And our client at the end of the day said, you know, it would have taken us 6 months to get done what we did today. And it's like, that's exactly what I want to hear. We want people to feel that sense of efficiency. So for them, the output will be a whole bunch of concepts, and then we'll go back through and start to narrow and make some recommendations to say, of, you know, the bunches of concepts we generated, here's the best ones to move forward with that really tie back to your objectives and start to allow you to be more active in social media, maybe even more than some of their competitors are.
Mike, do you find that a majority of your clients and or prospects will say to you, my audience isn't on Twitter, so I don't see the value of social media?
We found that, Todd, and it's funny because I tend to be a big, when I was in the corporate world, for as much as I was active in social media personally and for personal branding, I was a big naysayer inside our corporation because our customers weren't on there. So it's funny, when I do social media presentations or when we do a lot of these sessions, like the other day, we hardly talked about the applications in social media. What we talked about was, what are your business objectives, what's important to your customers, and what are the most effective ways to reach customers? And if social media isn't the right answer for that, then social media isn't in the mix. I think that's where there's a lot of folks right now who sort of start with the premise that, well, social media is what we do, so social media is going to be the right answer for every client. And we don't really do that. It's something that we tap into if it makes sense, but if the equation doesn't hold for social media, then it shouldn't be part of the equation.
Well, you hit on the key point. It isn't, hey, get me on Twitter and make it work for me, because Twitter may not be the best application for you. It's how do you best interact with your target customer base?
Yeah, and it's interesting because, I mean, that, for this client I was talking about, that may be one of the options for them because it's so tough to do things on their own site. It may be, and Todd, I stole this from you, and I use it a lot about thinking about your social media activity in thirds. For them, the important third may be they're going out and participating in conversations that are happening on other people's websites or bloggers in their industry where they're not hosting the conversation, and it gives them a little bit more flexibility. So I'm working on updating a presentation on social media I'm doing next week, and there's a tool that I always go out and look at called Noam.com that basically allows you to go register your name or your brand across a bunch of websites. And it's always interesting to see how many they claim. And right now they're talking about over 400 social media applications that are probably the ones above the line. So there's a lot of tools out there. You can't chase all those tools, but the easiest way to get into it is figure out what do you want to accomplish in your business, and then trust me, there'll be a tool that will, or maybe multiple tools that will help make that happen.
So now you've been out speaking as well, doing the keynote thing. Can you really help someone in a 40-minute keynote speech? And what are the things that you're sharing with these audiences?
It's a challenge, Stone. I mean, I've been doing a lot talking about business innovation. That seems to be one of the two things recently that people really want to hear about. One is business innovation, because I think a lot of people feel like, you know, we've sort of put this on the back burner the last couple of years. We've cut budgets, we've reduced people, and we just haven't looked at innovation. So I think there's a lot of interest there. The other one is social media, because I think for some of the same reasons, people are like, you know, how do I get into this? And on this business innovation presentation, what I do is look at 10 typical barriers to business innovation. But what I do is I tell them, I said, there's no way we can get through 10 in 40 minutes or 45 minutes, whatever we have. So I actually let them pick the barriers that they're dealing with right now, and we'll spend time with four or five of them, and try and share some of these tools, some of these exercises within that time. And I always tell them, I said, I don't want to see on the evaluations afterwards that this guy didn't talk about anything, you know, applicable to us. I tell them, I say, every time I do this presentation, it's different. I say, I never know what we're going to talk about because we try and customize it. So, you can at least point some people to some tools and some ways to start to get into it. And then I've been blogging, as you guys know, for three years here in a couple of weeks. So there's a lot of content I can put them in touch with or refer them back to get more detail as well.
How's the blogging thing going for you? Are you running out of stuff to talk about? Because I know Todd and I, sometimes we hear that from people. Walk us through that a little bit and tell us how that's going for you.
Well, when I was in the corporate world, I used to run about 25 posts ahead. I basically had a month of content stored up. Now, by Saturday night this past weekend, I'm gutting it out to get that fifth post next week. Your priorities change when you're out on your own, and blogging time feels like it's taken away time from business development. But I mean, it's funny because I always tell people, I said, I have the George Costanza theory of blog topics. If you remember George Costanza from Seinfeld, there was an episode where he and Jerry were pitching the show, and the executive from NBC, I think it was, you know, said, well, what's it about? And George said, it's about anything. What'd you do this morning? The guy said, well, I got up and I came to work. He said, that's a show. And it's sort of like that with blog topics. It's like almost anything that's out there, if you really understand what you're trying to communicate in your blog, you can probably tie that back to a topic. So, like for last week, I was traveled. I had a trip. I've been traveling a lot recently, doing a lot of these speaking things. So one of the topics was I was getting ready for a trip, and Southwest Airlines sent me an email the night before that said, you're going to be on a Y-Fly flight tomorrow morning. So I did a topic about how great that is for a brand to communicate with you when you're already thinking about them. Because I was, you know, what emails do I have to get done before I leave? And it was a perfect time to talk to me because it could really help me plan my trip. So that was sort of a out-of-the-blue email. And then on this flight last week, was a Continental Express flight, and I noticed that the stewardess was mouthing the pre-recorded flight instructions, because it's one of these small planes that there's only one flight attendant. And when she came by with the drink service, I made some remark about it. I said, well, I thought that was funny that you were mouthing along the words, because I figured, you know, she was just having fun with it, and it was kind of goofy. So, well, the reason I do that is I figure if I've got hearing-impaired passengers, at least maybe they can read my lips and get the instructions.
How interesting. That's cool.
I've been on a lot of Continental Express flights, a lot of the small plane flights. I've never seen anybody do it. So it's not like this is coming from corporate, but here's somebody, a frontline service provider, who's able to think about it from her customer's perspective and throw this in for maybe a minority part of the audience. But I, you know, that was a post. It's like, celebrate her, because she's really thinking about her customers. So you just look long and hard when you're writing 5 days a week and grab what you can and try and turn it into strategy, creativity, and innovation.
But you're so right, Mike. I mean, if you just open your eyes and you listen, there's should never be a shortage of content and things to write about. I mean, it boggles my mind when someone says, I just don't have anything else to write about. They're just not using their head.
Well, and I think especially, too, and I run a search on Twitter all the time on creative block when people say, oh, I've got a creative block. To me, Twitter is one of the greatest sources of random inputs and smart people and inspiring and innovative people. It's like you can just look through your stream of people on Twitter and what they're tweeting, and you can get 15 ideas just from right there.
You're absolutely right. Hey, I cannot believe that it's November of 2010. I mean, I'm still haven't adjusted to 2009 yet. some of our audience should begin to kind of think through what to do in 2011. Do you have any thoughts and advice on what they ought to do to be getting ahead and thinking through the next year?
Yeah, I actually was just another article I was doing over the weekend was for a local small business publication here in Kansas City, and that was one of the topics, was kind of starting to think about 2011. So throw out a couple of things that people can think about. One is expand the range of input they're getting inside their company. A lot of times when people plan, you know, certainly in a small company, there may not be a lot of folks to reach out to, but in bigger companies too, a lot of times strategic planning is seen as well, that you have to be a senior manager to do that. And I always encourage people, reach out broadly within your company, because you've got a lot of people who are touching customers, they're seeing issues in the business, and I think that's a great way for a management team to sort of expand their thinking. So that's one thing, Todd. Another is, it may be another opportunity to reach out to customers if, you know, again, through the cutbacks of the recession, maybe haven't been doing formal research or haven't been talking to customers as much, you know, kind of reach out to them maybe even an online survey and say, you know, what are your biggest challenges? What are your biggest opportunities? And how, as a business, are we contributing to realizing those opportunities? Or maybe, how are we getting in the way of some of your processes? We've used that with a lot of clients and seen that as a really effective way to allow customers, on kind of an open-ended basis, start to share some perspectives. We did that with a client here recently, and there were some eye-opening things for them. And a third thing I think anybody can start to do, you can do this exercise on your own. It's one thing, you know, to do the traditional, what are our opportunities and threats? And a lot of times when you ask yourself that question or ask, you know, other people in your company that question, you get fairly traditional answers. So I always recommend to people ask the question a little bit different way. And it's two parts. One is look out 3 years and imagine you've beat every performance goal, every revenue goal, every customer satisfaction goal, anything you ever imagined that you wanted to do. And step back and say, what were the three things you think that made that happen? And then look at the flip side and say, 3 years from now, something happened and you're out of business. Things were looking good, but somewhere along the line, things fell apart. And what do you think the three things were that led to that? And it's a really interesting exercise because you can then step back and say, are there some common kind of make or break issues that'll either make that success or break you that become really important, or are there other issues that you haven't addressed? And you know, match those up. Are those the priorities right now? Is that where you're investing your time? And a lot of times there's a real mismatch between people spending time on what they think's important and when they get through that exercise, what really seems to come to the table. So those are a couple ideas if somebody wants to get a little bit of a head start on 2011 that are fairly easy and they can get going right now.
Mike, how can our listeners learn more about your work and get in touch with you, man? Phone number, contact info, website, that kind of thing.
That'd be great. Brainzooming.com, BrainZooming.com is the website. And again, a blog out there 5 days a week on strategy, creativity, and innovation. And get me at email, brainzooming@gmail.com, and phone number, 816-509-5320, out here in the heartland in Kansas City. As I sit here in my high-velocity radio shirt on that you guys gave me when we were together, so I appreciate that.
Oh, that's terrific. I want to see a picture of you in your high-velocity radio shirt. Will you send us one?
I will grab a shot stone and get it to you guys.
Oh, that sounds terrific. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. And as you know now, we're serious when we say we'd like to have you back sometime.
I absolutely will. And trust me, anytime I come back to Atlanta, we're going to have an Inno Chat, Inno Beer celebration. So look forward to it.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Thank you now.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.